Chapter 44. A Problem of Dunnage. Egger testified that in the first moment that Pierce landed inside the luggage van, neither he nor Burgess recognised him. "I'll call him first, and I swear our granny is some muck Indian or nigger, so black he is, and his dunnage all torn about, like he'd gone a proper deuce-kitch, as if he'd had a thorough thrashing. His min's a ragged tatters, and black as the rest of him, and I says, the cracksman's hired a new bloke to do the lay. And then I see it's him himself, right enough." Surely the three men must have presented a bizarre picture. Burgess, the guard, neat and tidy in his blue railway uniform. Egger dressed splendidly in a formal suit, his face and hands a cadaverous bloated green. And Pierce, sagged to his hands and knees, his clothing shredded and sooty black from head to foot. But they all recovered quickly and worked with swift efficiency. Egger had completed the switch. The safes were locked up again with their new treasure of lead shot. The five leather satchels stood by the van door in a neat row, each laden with gold bullion. Pierce got to his feet and took his watch from his waistcoat, an incongruously clean gold object at the end of a soot-black chain. He snapped it open. It was 8:37. 5 minutes, he said. Egger nodded. In 5 minutes, they would pass the most deserted stretch of track, where Pierce had arranged for Barlow to wait and pick up the flung satchels. Pierce sat down and stared through the open van door at the countryside rushing past. "Are you well, then?" Egger asked.
"Well enough," Pierce said. "But I don't cherish going back."
"Ah, it's frazzled you proper," Egger said. "You're a sight and no mistake. Will you change when you're snug in the compartment again?"
Pierce, breathing heavily, was slow to comprehend the meaning of the words.
"Change?
Aye, your damage," Egger grinned. "You step off at Folkestone as you stand now, and your coil's no end of a stir."
Pierce watched the green rolling hills flash past and listened to the rumble of the carriage on the tracks. Here was a problem he had never considered and had made no plans for. But Egger was right. He couldn't step out at Folkestone looking like a ragged chimney sweep, especially as Fowler was almost certain to seek him out to say goodbye.
"I have no change," he said softly.
"What say?"
Egger said, for the noise of the wind through the open van door was loud.
"I have no change of clothing," Pierce said. "I never expected..."
His voice trailed off. He frowned.
"I brought no other clothing."